can a church community help you with your deepest struggle? Welcome to Handing It to Jesus. This is the podcast where we learn to trade our deepest struggles to God for peace. This is Matt Tilley, and I am here with Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
Today, we want to talk a little bit more about that question. A church community. A lot of you might hear that and scoff a little bit about the idea or think that this is going to be a really corny episode where we just talk about church. You should go to church. Church is good. And that's kind of what the episode will be a little bit like. But I think that there's a lot of nuance around the universal and the local church around what it can actually do for us, how it can help us, that maybe because we have these in our culture, this stigma that church is boring and old and corny and it's just sitting there and listening to somebody preach at us, that it's not applicable or important or influential in our life, really. Right. I think we've kind of lost this in our culture, just the power that I think attending a weekly service, being in weekly community with other people who love the Lord like you, who have like-minded views and worldviews, really what it can do for you.
Right.
Well, it's strange how we've come to that. But
so I think that, so just to orient us, we're in the action step, the section of building relationships in the workbook. Handing It Jesus workbook. If you do not have the workbook, there is a link in our show notes. Download it; it's for free. But we're wanting to build relationships to be able to help us hand over these deepest struggles to Jesus. And Jesus makes it very clear that there is something about community. He is building his church with a people, right?
That's right.
There is a piece of that, you know, that there's a piece of the Bible that, you know, if we're looking at like all these different parts that end up coming together, and a big portion of this is that God is working with people to be the church. And
yeah,
at the end of the day, going to church is good for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of negatives, too. We're going to talk about some of the negatives, but at the end of the day, mm-hmm. it is something that is emphasized in the Bible.
Repeatedly.
And if we believe the Bible's truth, then we need to believe that there is truth mm-hmm. in what the Bible says about meeting and gathering in a community.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that Matt and I have had a lot of experience in churches. I've been to a lot of different churches.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah, many different denominations throughout my life.
So we're not doing this episode to necessarily be like, you should choose this denomination over this denomination. Mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of people really get hung up, is which one is actually speaking the truth. As long as your church is reading out of the Bible, that's a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, reading out of the Bible, and that like their core doctrine is essentially revolving around what the core gospel is. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I have a closed fist, a tight fist on, is the core central doctrine of the gospel, which we've laid out here before.
Yes, which is outside, that Jesus is the only way.
Correct. That he is fully man, fully God, the one and only way, that is through him that we have eternal life. That he, you know, died for our sins on the cross, 3 days later was risen from the dead. All of that, the core to the gospel. Everything else, you could draw a circle around that and say that's persuasion level beliefs. That's where we have a lot of church splits. Things that I read in scripture and the way I interpret it, the context in which I read it, convinces me that this is really what it means. And different people have some different opinions, right. Like how to administer the Eucharist, like the Lord's Supper, how to do baptism within a church, our stances on how we engage with different other God's creation, like substances, food, drugs, alcohol, like all of those are persuasion level beliefs,
right.
That different churches have different stances on. Then there's another wider circle that's just opinion level beliefs around that. Things that are fun to talk about maybe, but don't really have an impact on your faith. Persuasion level beliefs can have an impact on the way you live and on your faith, yeah, but opinion level beliefs like how old is the earth? Do you believe in old earth theory or young earth theory?
Yeah.
Those are opinions, and that's not the purpose of the Bible to tell us that.
I think that there is this fear, and it's a very real fear, that what you're going to do is you're going to go to a church, and the church is going to be spouting false doctrine. Mm-hmm. So the benefit that we have is we can have the Bible.
Yeah, we can fact check everything.
We can fact check everything, but also, and this is an important thing, you can be hearing a sermon from the preacher, and maybe the preacher says something that rubs you the wrong way.
Mm.
Your first instinct should not be to reject whatever is being spoken about. If that's your first instinct, be careful reading the Bible, because mm-hmm. you're going to have that same impulse to reject some of those things.
Yeah.
So that's a you thing, uh-huh. right? And your pastor could say something very much out of line.
Yeah.
Right? But the thing is, what we want to do, right? Remember, we're handing our deepest struggles over to Jesus. Sermon comes. We hear a struggle, right? We hear something that's conflicting. Take the conflicting piece to God. Pray about it. Look mm-hmm. for it in the Bible, right? And then, like, if you're looking at this and you're like, no, this was wrong, what they said, I don't agree with it, right? You prayed about it. You've thought about it. Maybe you even fasted about it. Mm-hmm. Then go and talk to the, you know, to the person who delivered the sermon,
totally.
Whatever you may call him, priest, pastor, you know, father, anything like that, right? Go and talk to the person and let them know that this was done. And then if they don't agree, right, you do the normal thing that Jesus talks about mm-hmm. in the Sermon on the Mount, where it's like, okay, I believe it's the Sermon on the Mount, right? Where he, like, all right, you have one person, you confront them, and then you bring another believer in there. Mm-hmm. And then,
if a brother wrongs you. Yes. Then, the point here is that when you're in relationship, you have permission to bring up hurt and then to hash things out and see if there's room for repair, if you can come to an agreement. Right. And that's why we encourage building relationships, mm-hmm. because when you're actually in relationships with other people in a community or with friends, when you get offended and when you get hurt, because it will happen,
right?
You are more apt and inclined to try to repair than to just say, well, forget you, I'm leaving. Bye.
Well, to seek a deeper understanding of the word. Yeah. What if the person giving the sermon has a different understanding than you? And totally. It's not biblically wrong. It's actually God's way of trying to reveal something to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So that opportunity is too good to pass up.
Yeah.
So there are definitely things that happen wrong in churches.
Oh, sure, right? Yeah.
There's spiritual abuse, there's hurt, there is...
True manipulation of power, right? That happens, unfortunately, all the time. And not just in churches, but every institution mm-hmm. Is really potentially corrupted by the mm-hmm. abuse of power. And churches are not exempt. It's just, it's much sadder to me when a church falls to that. Because it's not the way it's supposed to be at all, especially for a believing body. I enjoy Diane Langberg as well. If you haven't heard of her, she has a book called Redeeming Power, Understanding Authority and Abuse in the Church. And I'd encourage you, if you have experienced spiritual abuse, to go check out her book. Even better, to open up to a friend about that or somebody that you trust or a counselor. Because it's something serious to really process through, grieve through, and understand, or I guess separate out where the pain is coming from and also still what is true,
right,
despite how you've been hurt.
Absolutely, because there are times that, you know, human beings that are professing Christians will hurt other human beings,
mm-hmm.
and they will do wrong, and they will sin against another person. They will sin against God. We're not perfect, and it will happen. And we have to separate the idea that God is doing that to you. Because, we as believers, we are ambassadors of the gospel. We are representing it. We're speaking about it. We're doing these different things. But at the end of the day, we are being watched, and how we interact with other people and other believers and non-believers, that is going to be judged, right? So we want to try to show ourselves in the best light. And in my opinion, the best way of doing that is when you have that conflict show up in a community or in a church community, which is what we're talking about here, take that conflict to God, pray about it, search for biblical truth around it, and then be able to go talk to that person. There are, Matt and I have both been to several different churches. I can tell you this from my own experience that I've never, I've been to churches that I didn't really agree with what was preached about, that didn't really, for me, that wasn't really ever the catalyst for leaving or anything like that. But I know that people have had that. And that's okay. Yeah. I think the biggest danger is leaving a church just because we're searching for something, some other type of sermon or to be entertained or anything. Those are all things to confront inside yourself. And for the purpose of this, building relationships, being a part of a church where you can build those relationships, where you can go to that weekly gathering, or maybe even more than weekly if your church offers that, being able to go to small groups, being able to go to worship services, being able to get involved in the different things. And to me, that's probably the most important crux of a church community, is if you feel comfortable enough to get involved, then that's probably a good place for you to be. Other people that have a heart, they're pursuing God, and you want to be involved, right? There's this drive to be wonderful. Then for you, whenever you're starting to make these friends, you're part of things, it's going to become easier to talk about your struggle.
I am maybe a little curious too, if we could chat maybe about our own churches that we've attended, or our current church, and kind of what being in that community, I guess, does for us, you know. Like for me, community is a lot harder in my 30s than it ever has been before. In my early 20s, whenever I was in undergrad and I was around a lot of other believers, tons of people my age who were trying to pursue the Lord and having worship nights in our apartment, I remember that, and deep gospel-oriented conversations like all throughout the week. Community was obviously easy. It was like oozing out all around me, you know? And then, like, you graduate and you take on life responsibilities and you get married and things change and you now have more responsibility and obligation to this other person, and your friendships change because of that. Your community changes. Your time changes. You need to provide. You need to work jobs. Then you have kids and it gets even worse. Like, now you have hardly zero time. Community is a lot harder, I think, as you go on. And then, you know, maybe there will be a time where community, at least the timing of it, will feel easier for me. And I expect that in your life, you're going to see seasons and waves where sometimes community is really hard to pursue and sometimes it's really easy.
I don't think it should actually be easy. So this is my opinion. So people have, it has been made known that I may be a little sadistic in my thinking. So, you know, listener, be aware. So I don't think it should be easy, but you should want to.
Tell me more about that, Craig.
Yeah, so
I can imagine where you're going. I'm
so
curious.
This is something that I've actually discovered more being a therapist than anything else, is that there is a big difference between people that are wanting to take the easy route versus the hard route. And you don't take the hard route just because it's harder. You take the hard route because it means something. That you're doing the hard route, right? So people that come into our rooms are doing hard work. They're doing difficult things.
Yeah,
you can tell whenever people are coming to our rooms and they're not willing to do hard work. Whenever people come in a hard and they're doing these hard things, it's no different than whenever I'm pursuing God. So like right now, my church is doing something where they're like, it's beginning of year. I can't remember. You know how churches come with all fun names for things. So there's some fun name with this, but it's basically like, hey, this is while we're recording this, this is at the beginning of the year. They're like, hey, we're going to do something that's going to be a little bit out there for us. We're going to have worship at 6 a.m. every day. And you could attend in person, 6 a.m. So it was like before work, worship. And they're like, we're going to be here. We're going to have band. We're going to have prayer. do all this stuff. They're not going to have a sermon, right? So it's just going to be prayer and worship. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. So like at the end of the day, I want to go to that. We couldn't, you know, it's really hard to go to that because of, I don't know when my daughter's going to wake up and I got to, you know, my son gets it. We got to get him up for breakfast a certain amount of time and before get on the bus. But what we can do is get online and look at it. So like, while I'm getting my daughter ready, we got it on my phone and, you know, we're listening. She loves to dance to music. So we're doing this. And at the end of the day, I would have rather been in there and maybe even like, hopefully I'll be able to make it a priority and somehow be able to swing it. Right. But it's not comfortable. It's not easy. Whenever I go to my guys group, it's not easy. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient for my wife. It's inconvenient for me to wake up at a certain time to be able to make sure that everything's set up for my wife to be successful before I leave to go do this. None of this stuff is easy. But because you want to do it, because it means something,
right?
That makes it a lot easier for whenever I do have that time, I'm trying to get something from it. Because I've already had to go over so many hurdles even just to get there, even just to be able to make it happen.
Totally. That makes sense, Craig. I think I would add on that I wonder if the hard changes in different stages of life of what is hard about pursuing community. Because for me, like early on in undergrad, community was easy with my time. What was, and I loved the community I had. What was hard about it is there was a million instances that I could have walked away and said, screw this, this is not worth it. Because there were so many times that from some of the guys who mentored me that are still my best friends to this day, Sam and Davey, where I was called out of my sin. And they challenged me to consider something that I hadn't really seen very well, something that was hypocritical in me. And they called me up to have a bigger vision for my life, a bigger vision of myself, a greater understanding of who God is. And that was really, really hard to maybe hear that without getting defensive, getting offended, feeling shame, and instead hear it and allow my heart to feel conviction and then to be willing to also continue to be vulnerable with my pain and my sorrow. So emotionally and, of course, relationally, like it was actually really hard to get to a place where I felt close to those people because I had to allow them to know things about me that I had never shared with anyone. Deep pain and deep sorrow that I had for some of my actions that were sinful and not okay. To allow them to see me act in the world in a way that was not okay, but that I thought was okay, you know, and for them to, they give them the permission to call that out in me. So that was hard. And I think it was maybe rare that I was able to have a community like that because I know maybe a lot of people aren't able. Not necessarily just because you're not willing to do that, but maybe the timing of it's different. Maybe you don't have other people in your life.
There is fear of being called out, too.
Of course, fear of being called out, of letting yourself be vulnerable, of putting yourself even in a position where other people will see you like that, of having the courage in a community to be the people who will call out another person in that community.
Well, and how do we do it in a loving way?
Right, or being afraid that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Like, I am so appreciative of those men in my life who were not afraid of hurting my feelings. Or maybe they were concerned about it, but it didn't stop them from speaking truth to me. And if we want to have a strong community, I think we also have to have that mentality about us, which is hard.
Oh, absolutely. So this is in my mind what we're asking for when we're talking about building relationships, when we're talking about like a church community here, that you have this struggle that's going on, right? So like Matt and I have talked a little bit about our struggles. And so this is a struggle I've talked about in my guys group. And the big thing is whenever I talk about the struggle that I'm having and like the financial insecurity and like where that leads to not being enough, it helps because then they get to tell me different scripture. They know about this part of me. I can, we could joke about it or different things like that, which is sometimes helpful. But really the camaraderie around that, the normalizing that, yeah, this is a struggle that they go through too. This is how they work on it. These are some scriptures that they lean on. And the lack of judgment where there isn't the looking down on, right? So that's like what we're looking with healthy. Judgment comes where we're doing something where we cannot see. We don't recognize what we're doing wrong. So that's where one believer is looking at another believer and they go through this process. Hopefully they go through this process, what they do, right? Like taking the plank out of their own eye. So they're examining their own biases, their own mentality and how they're coming across and how they're communicating this. And that's what it would look like. And that's what we're hoping that it'll look like in a healthy community, that you're leaving yourself open to the opportunity to talk about the struggle and receive correction.
Yeah.
And receive correction.
Yeah, that's right.
So that, you know, one of the things that I would love is that if you're talking about your struggle, someone knows that's a struggle and they can ask you, hey, I know this has been tough for you. How have you been doing with it lately? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah.
Right. That's the whole thing that we're wanting to do, right? Because we talk about in the friendship where you're wanting a Christian friend that is someone that you can talk to about this struggle and you can let them know, right? Like, hey, I'd like to talk about this. You can give them the opportunity to let you know that they can or they can't talk about it right now or they can't show up in that way. Mm-hmm. The community aspect is giving more people the opportunity to pray, to talk to you about like different biblical principles around this, to maybe even help you like do a theme study around, to just be able to be there to listen as a group, which is different than that individual relationship. And there's a different type of power and dynamic there where you may be able to go into more depth or may be able to be less, but this other group, there's someone in it that may actually have the experience with that. And this is what we're trying to tap into. And that's the power of community.
I would say, also, what makes community a little or a lot different than like individual friendship, you don't have to be best friends with everybody in your community. Mm-hmm. There may be some people that like really you don't have a common interest very much besides you both love Jesus, which is huge, by the way, that common denominator. But you might be closer with some people in community versus others, and that's okay. There shouldn't be this expectation that everybody in your community needs to be super close or best friend to you. But what is unique about that is that you can have a mixture of different people who are close to your heart or a little further away from your heart, but still close in your life that are around you that can speak into your life and speak truth. Not only that, surely there's going to be a lot more moments that you have where you are listening and engaging with their life. Rather than them listening and engaging with you, because you're just one person, but there's maybe 3, 5, 10 other people in a community group, right? So more likely, you're going to have more instances where you get to engage with them with their pain, their struggle, their sorrow, and that does something so unique for you in your struggle, for you to help somebody else or to validate somebody else's hard emotions, to move towards somebody in their pain, to offer some kind of support, whether it's emotional or physical. It helps us to remember and to know that we're not alone. It does something good for our soul to offer support for somebody else. Us feeling perhaps like we do have a purpose in this life, because God actually designed us with the purpose first to worship him and then to love one another and be in relationship. So that feeling that you get from helping somebody else, it's a callback to what God has already placed in your heart that you need to do this and it feels good to do this. And that's going to be some fuel in the tank, so to speak, for you to deal with your own struggle as you go on throughout that week as well.
Absolutely. Well, and there's a certain part of this building relationships that we have to pay attention to what makes more sense or what's easier for us in regards to sharing or talking about our struggle. So when I have been contending with lust, much easier to talk to my guy's Bible study group about it totally. Than my friends. Just easier for me. I don't know why, but it was. It still is even today. Mm-hmm. If I were to talk about those struggles, it's just easier for me to talk to them. I'm not as close to the guys in my guys group as I am with some of my friends, but I know where they're coming from. When we're in that Bible study together, we're tuned in to a certain way of being that we're hoping is going to carry over into our life in general. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, right, we're practicing being in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that makes it easier for me to shift into talking about that struggle or that pain. Yeah. So you have to pay attention to the struggle that I'm going through. Is there an avenue that might actually be easier for me to be able to express it? And a church community might be that for you.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So you have a lot of benefits of it. One, like if we're, which we're going to get to talking about in the consolidate section here for the action step, mm-hmm. right? We're going to be making a plan for this is one, like what you're going to do and what it's going to look like. When you go to church every week, I don't know about you, but usually I walk out of church feeling pretty good. Mm. And that's not really why I go to church, but it's a nice boon. But the thing is that whenever I go to church, I am reminded of the sins I am struggling with. I'm reminding of those things, and I get the opportunity to hand them back over to God.
That's right.
Right? So, like, there's this repetitiveness, and it's like, all right, can I do that more often? Mm-hmm. So often, if I'm just forgetting all throughout the week to turn to God, well, at least I got this reset button that, okay, I got this, feeling good afterwards, let's go ahead and hit it tomorrow, right?
Totally.
I want to wake up, pray to God first thing whenever I wake up. I want to go say the Lord's Prayer. I want to go do these different things. Like, I want to be able to pray on the way to work. I want to pray on the way home, pray in between sessions, like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, like, we get that chance for that reset, that opportunity that can happen. Or, right, if we're going to more than one service a week, or we're going to, you know, doing some type of Bible study group or whatever it is, we have these built-in processes to be able to help remind us of what I need to be doing to help hand this over to Jesus.
I recently heard my pastor describe that one of the benefits of church, and it's not guaranteed that you're always going to feel this, and it's not the whole point of church necessarily either, but if you've ever played Mario Kart, they have these little speed ramps as you're driving through. And when you hit this little speed ramp, I think that's what it's called. It might be a different name. Yeah. It boosts you forward for a little bit. It propels you so that you can take over the person in front of you, maybe. And then you're at your normal speed again for a little while until you come across another one. That church can be those little speed ramps for us, or those moments of connection in our community groups. Those little speed ramps to boost us forward into the next moment or day or experience that we have in that week or moment we come across with our struggle. Well, maybe I can have some of the momentum from what I just experienced, the encouragement I just gained to actually say no to this struggle in its physical form and in its deep emotional spiritual state as well, right. To say no to the lie and to say yes to truth. And sometimes we have a better mental, emotional, spiritual guard about us when we get this power, this encouragement from community.
Oh, one last thing I want to say about it. Do not be tied down by if you go to a smaller church. I love smaller churches. We went from a larger church to a smaller church, not because there's anything wrong with the larger church, but it was easier for us to make connections in the smaller church.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, for us, it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say I went to an even smaller church, and like maybe, which I've been to a church where there's like maybe like 100, 150 people or anything like that. And maybe they don't have a ton of things, but I'm really ingrained in the church. Allow yourself permission that if you want to get involved with the Bible study or different things that's not going on at that church, allow yourself permission to look at other churches to participate in that. One of the things I love the most is my wife does this crochet group on Sundays. And there are people that attend it that do not even go to our church. And it's amazing.
Wow. Right?
That's what we want.
Yeah.
Right. Love So at the end of the day, you can attend a church and be happy there. Allow yourselves the opportunity to connect with people. People are pursuing Christ, not only at your church, but other churches too. Allow yourself to leverage that. Allow yourself to leverage these relationships to help you with that struggle. That's kind of like the whole linchpin of what this is. You're not in it alone.
There's too many thoughts to have. I would also say one of the beautiful things that I think of pursuing a community through a church is you have more potential for that community to be intergenerational, meaning that there's going to be a varied amount of people in that community that are not your exact same age, and that can be entirely extremely beneficial for your life, your community as well.
Absolutely.
People of different ages that experience God in different ways because they're in different seasons of their life, and that you can help because you're in a different season of your life as well, which is beautiful. And I encourage you to have people in your community that are not your same age.
Right.
We do have to get going, guys. We got some business to get to. But it has been a pleasure sharing all of this with you today. We really look forward to our next episode and how we can keep sharing the love of Christ and how to keep moving towards Him. But until then, we love you very much. Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really helped me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again. And we love you. We will see you next time.